It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And welcome back, 1 o'clock hour. Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon. Oh, Drew. People are asking me if I've been nice today, and I have been very, very nice today.
You're always nice to me, right?
I think so. I think I've been extremely nice. I'm usually more of a salty individual. You're more of a saucy, spicy guy, Drew.
I don't know if
I do love spice, Ben. Would you consider yourself saucy like those nuggets, or are you more of a... Would you consider yourself saucy or spicy?
I would say saucy, I guess.
So you're saucy? Drew Nixon, the saucy one.
I got the juice, Bink. I got the juice.
Drew Nixon, just dripping that sauce.
That's right.
Big time. Big time. Well, this is a game week for the Kansas City. It's so nice saying this, like, for real game.
Finally, we're here.
So I don't have to sit here and get excited over preseason games, which I do anyway. But this is real. And to think, it's kind of how this thing... Well, the NFL for years has tried to make things a 12-month-a-year event, and they have, between the games and the combine and the OTAs and everything and training camp. They've made this thing a full-year deal in the preseason. You get in the regular season. It's unbelievable how much fun. But to think this is a Chiefs game week, that's insane. You're going to have a 3-day weekend to watch some college football, get after it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Maybe heading to the liquor store on your way home, a little happy hour beers. It's going to be a great weekend weather-wise, I think, knock on wood. I'm not a meteorologist.
I believe it looks good.
It looks fine. Yeah, my phone says it's fine. It's supposed to be raining right now, but it's not. But then you get a 3-day weekend. And then all of a sudden, you're going back to work on Tuesday, unless you're working the weekend. I hope you aren't. But then you're going back to work on Tuesday, and you're 2 days away from the Chiefs' first game. That is absolute insanity. Pinch yourself. The Royals are going to the playoffs. I know Vinny's hurt. They're still going. In the Chiefs season, plus you got the great college football in this area. Goodness gracious almighty.
It's as good as it gets.
It is.
I mean, we're going to have...
This town is saucy.
The only days that we're not having football in the next like week are Tuesday and Wednesday. We had football Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to have some Sunday. We're going to have a game on Monday.
We got football all the way through February every weekend.
Yeah.
That is absolute... insanity. Anyway, Andy Reid spoke today, gives an update on some of the players they play in or not. Andy Reid spoke today.
Hey, what would be a Wednesday, so in a couple days. We look forward to this challenge of playing the Ravens. They're a heck of a football team. John does a great job along with his coaches of preparing their guys, and we know that it'll be a battle royal. I mean, it's one of those games, and we've played over the years, and it's always a knockdown dragout. So this won't be any different. We're glad that we have an opportunity to play here at Arrowhead GEH Field, and we know the fans will be loud and aggressive. We've got to make sure that we take care of our business as a football team and eliminate those early season mistakes that take place with every team. You've got to make sure that you limit those and hang on to the football. Fumbles are always up early in the season. You've got to make sure you take care of the ball and all those fundamentals that we've talked about during training camp you guys have asked me about. We've got to make sure we have those down pat by the time we get there. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
Coach, we'll go first to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Andy, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Adam. Thank you. You
good. We have not had a chance to talk to you since Juju and Samaje Perine came on board. Sure. Just what you liked about those two guys and how you see their fit and your plans for them. And Kelsey, I'll have another question as well.
Yeah, Samaje is the newest member. We all know what he did to us when he was at Cincinnati with that screenplay. But Samaje's done this over his career, where he's been a phenomenal third down back, but he's also a good runner. And I think that you know that he's really a good person. I mean, that word has traveled around the National Football League on what kind of guy he is, and locker room guy, and so on. So we welcome that. But the opportunity to have a guy in here that can do the run game and the pass game, I think he's a good, well-rounded football player that's extremely intelligent, that is a great addition that Brett added to it, to the team. And then with Juju, we welcome Juju back with open arms. He's healthy and ready to go. His knee... he had the knee before, but we were able to manage that. We'll continue to manage it. He looks great right now, and he jumped right back in and had some good practice for us. So it's just a matter of him getting banged around a little bit and having not been in camp. So he'll get all that as the season goes. But it's good to have him back in the mix there for sure.
Yeah, and you talked a minute ago about injuries, but now that you're less than a week out, I wanted to ask you about Hollywood. Do you see much realistic chance that he could still practice on Sunday and then play on
I don't think you'll have Hollywood this week. So, yeah, Hollywood won't be back this week, and we'll just see how it goes. But the kid's amazing. I mean, his progress has been incredible. So, but I wouldn't predict him being there this week.
We'll go next to Sam McDowell.
Hey, Andy. And Kelsey, I had a couple things too. Just with Juju in the mix and just your keeping seven wide receivers, not obviously, you just mentioned Hollywood's not going to be playing next Thursday, but with the six guys, is there going to be intent on trying to get everyone in the mix, everyone in the offense, or do you see maybe more value in trying to establish kind of a top three, four to get some chemistry with Patrick?
Yeah, I think all of them have that. The obviously one that is unknown is Worthy, having not played in a NFL game, a real NFL game, other than a preseason game with them and practice. What I've seen is they have a pretty good thing going, and we'll just see how it goes when things are flying here fast and furious. But the other guys, he's got a history with and knows and trusts.
You kind of touched on my second thing, but just Xavier, from the time you got him, obviously he didn't participate much in the summer with the injury he was going through, but from the time you opened camp to game day week here, I mean, what have you seen just from his growth and how comfortable are you with his readiness?
Yeah, Sam, I think he's he wants to do the right thing. So he spends a lot of time with Pat and the other receivers, the veteran guys, just figuring out, what Pat's expecting or where he needs to be or what the coaches are asking him to do. He's not afraid to ask. And then he's been willing to try everything. So whether it's an inside route, one of those intermediate routes or long routes, he's been very willing to get in there and mix it up. So I like what I've seen. I just, like any rookie that's coming into this thing, you want to see how they do in the games. But, you'd think he'd probably do okay.
Thanks, Annie.
Yeah.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick. Matt?
Hey, Coach. This is a little bit of a different one because the NFL this year has decided that they're going to have those live interviews with coaches during every game. Have you done... have you prepared for who's going to be doing that and made a plan for how you're going to handle those interviews and kind of what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'm not very good during games on interviews. So I'm sure I'm not going to tickle anybody's fancy there with these interviews. I just, but I, listen, I've got to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm an NFL team guy, so I'm going to do it, but don't expect much.
We'll go next to Pete Sweeney.
Coach, just a follow-up to Adam for me. Do you anticipate Juju and P. Ryan to have enough time here to be available on Thursday night?
I think, yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think so. I've just got to see with P. Ryan on where he's at and picking everything up. And I'm not going to put him in a bad position, obviously, but I think he's going to be fine. He's been in here cranking away. So we'll see how everything goes.
We'll go next to Todd Lebo. Todd?
Coach, a couple quick questions here. Number one, where are you, like right now, your comfort factor with your entire roster? Do you feel like you've got what you need to get this thing going?
Yeah, I think Brett and his guys have done a great job with this whole thing. And excuse me, practice squad included there. So I know there'll be changes as things go on. I get all that, but I like what we've got here, and we've just got to. The bottom line is you've got to do it and play now. So it's not going to change that much from what you have right now. So, but we've got to make sure that we get in and practice and go through that whole process and really focus in on the Ravens. So we'll have a chance to do that starting tomorrow.
We'll close things out here with Nick Jacobs.
Andy, with the new guys that are on the roster that weren't a part of the AFC Championship or kind of the pageantry of opening night and everything, what do you kind of tell them to kind of get their mindset to so they can create that tempo that you guys are used to on game one?
Yeah, don't lose your focus on the Ravens. The Ravens are over on the other side going, all right, this is all great, but we're here to kick your tail. And so you don't ever forget that. You can enjoy whatever you want to enjoy, but normally before a game, as players and coaches, you're not enjoying a whole lot of the pageantry. You would just want to get out and play.
There you go, Drew. Andy Reid would be spicy. We're going to kick your tail.
Kick your tail.
That's what we focus on. Saucy or spicy, that's some spice.
We mean business.
Where Drew, on the other hand, is more saucy per him.
I'm going to score a touchdown, and I'm going to dance.
So, obviously, no-brainer. Hollywood Brown's not playing. Juju's supposed to play. P. Ryan, working man, Andy Reid, loves his pass-blocking ability, catching the football out of the backfield. But it's so nice to hear actual game week talk. By the way, he doesn't seem to be a huge fan of in-game interviews. Says he'll do them because they have to do them.
Yeah.
But I don't blame him because I think they're stupid. I think all in-game interviews are stupid.
I agree. I'm with you.
And then it's always the college is funny too because it's always got the dude like holding the little like the radio guy for their home station or trying to get anything before the coach just runs off. But yeah, I could do without the interviews. By the way, this is a story that came out today, and Pete Gradoff from the Kansas City Star had it, and I find it interesting, but I am curious about it because I'm not sure it makes a ton of sense. Josh Jacobs, of course, the great running back from the Raiders that went to Green Bay. He said one team with a winning culture reached out to Jacobs in free agency, the Chiefs. But Jacobs told The Athletic that he couldn't stomach the thought of joining the Chiefs. even though they've won 8 straight AFC West championships and 3 Super Bowl titles.
That's
he
funny.
Goes, quote, they were trying to get me hard, but there was no way I was going there. I feel like once you are rivals with somebody, you have a genuine hate for them. I couldn't see myself in that color. And besides, I never wanted to be the guy that joined the dominant team. I want to be the guy that beats the dominant team. A couple things there. All right. You know, I respect people that respect the rivalry. You know, because a lot of guys, you know, I had to buy into it because they're from a different part of the country and they're here. And, you know, like the Royals, you know, they're supposed to hate the Cardinals. Fan base do.
Yeah.
And so they buy into it. Like, or you hate the Broncos, or you hate the Raiders. You might have grown up on the West Coast. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
or the Bengals.
But we've seen so many guys like Neil Smith. We saw him play for the Chiefs. And then we saw the Broncos. Mark Salen with the Raiders, and he plays for the Chiefs. I guess that. But to say you couldn't see yourself for that color, like I'm curious. Would they, like, I can't see the Chiefs spending money on a free agent back like Josh Jacobs when they have Isaiah Pacheco. So I am curious how true that is, Drew. Like, why they would have been pursuing him? Because I don't know if I 100% buy that.
Yeah, I don't either. Because that obviously the first thing that comes to mind is, well, they have Isaiah Pacheco, and yeah, it'd be cool for them to split time. But why would they spend that kind of money?
They wouldn't spend it on a wide receiver. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Which obviously is probably a bigger need for the type of system that they run. It would make more sense for them to spend the money on a wide receiver.
He signed a 4-year, $48 million contract with the Packers. Chiefs weren't even going to be sniffing around that to pay a running back. There's no need to, because 2 years ago, their leading rusher was a 7th-round pick. This year, an undrafted free agent, Carson Steele, made the team.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I'm not buying that, to be honest with you. I mean, maybe it's 100% true. I just don't see how hard the Chiefs actually pursued that.
It doesn't seem like a move that the Chiefs would actually be that interested in. Yeah, I'm with you there. That is definitely interesting.
You know, they were trying to get me. They were trying hard to get me, but there's no way I was going.
But I couldn't stomach the thought. Jeez.
You played on a crap hole team with the Raiders.
That's what I'm saying.
Never stood a chance against the Chiefs or winning the division anyway. How much do you really buy into the rivalry, Josh? And if you totally respected it, why aren't you still there? Why didn't you find a way to be a Raider again?
Well, somebody says,
because they gladly would have kept you, because they're keeping their draft picks has not been good.
Yeah, but he wanted to get paid and play for a winning team. But he didn't say it, but it's the exact same thing as what Jamar Chase said. Anybody but the Chiefs. That's what Josh Jacobs told you in this little story. He said anybody but the Chiefs. Essentially, that's what he said. I'll go anywhere. I want to go I'll go anywhere, but I can't go. I'm not going to Kansas City. That's what he said.
But here's the deal. He's going to be in Green Bay. We'll say in a couple of years, the Vikings, you know, try to make a deal for him and going to pay him more, and it's a rival of the Green Bay Packers. Would he go? Because oftentimes money talks and BS walks, right?
Yeah, sure.
Guys go places. And how deeply ingrained was he in the rivalry with the Raiders and Chiefs? I mean, how much did they really instill, going through all the coaches they've done? Everything?
Just the culture that the Raiders have, I think they just don't like the Chiefs anyways. Like, I think a lot of people don't like the Chiefs anyways because they win.
Rivalry's good. Rivalry's a good, like, this attitude is fun to hear, but it's non-realistic, too, because you're talking about a team trying to get you hard when you got 7th-round running back and you needed to pay Chris Jones, which you did.
I don't know why.
And you had Trey Smith coming up and stuff like this. You don't have 4 years, $48 million to spend on a Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I don't know why he would have said it, though, if it wasn't true. Like, it doesn't, I don't.
Well, it might be, but I find it, maybe it was a player doing it. I don't know. But see the Chiefs front office doing this? I don't.
I don't either. But at the same time, why the heck would he say it? You know, it's not. I don't know. It's
I get it, man. I'm not saying it's not true.
Well, no.
I'm just saying if I gave my opinion on it, I would say
it doesn't make sense. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
The Chiefs, why would they spend that on a running back? They've proven that it doesn't matter. Yeah. They've been draft one this year at all.
It makes no sense for them to spend that kind of money.
No. Yeah. Packers rivals the stupid Bears, not the Vikings, text line says. No.
I think
Packers don't like the Vikings either. I know that the Packers and Bears are a huge rivalry, but the Vikings and Packers are a pretty damn good one, too. It's kind of like the AFC West, Raiders and Chiefs rivalry, Raiders-Broncos rivalry.
Yeah.
Not really the Chargers, so to speak, because they've been irrelevant.
I'll be honest. I don't think the Chargers can have – look, what LA team has a rival? Like, I think that there's levels to it, because you got the one Chargers fan, you know the lady who's dying on every single play.
Wasn't she a fan of somebody else too?
Yeah, that, no, like she was a fan of the Vikings, I believe.
Okay, so it's a paid deal, or you think she's actually a fan?
I think she's actually a fan of the Chargers. I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. I think she's a real fan, but because it's hard for you to fake those type of reactions. But I don't think you can take very many fan bases seriously that don't like really care about their team like that. And I feel like LA is a city that's like when they're winning, they're really good. When they're losing, they don't care.
They've been a real rival. Like,
I know
many would say the Raiders aren't even a rival. That you have obviously smack talk going back and forth is big, but the Broncos have been far more relevant as of late than the Raiders.
I agree, and I think that the best rivalry in the NFL right now is the Chiefs and the Bengals, because they actually hate each other. Like, as much as people like you, every team trash talks though, Bink. But when you have pure hatred. And I think that that's the way that it's more jealousy than anything else
at this point.
It's respectful hatred that the Bengals have, I think, to the Chiefs, maybe not Jamar Chase, but like for Joe Burrow, yes. But that those two teams hate each other. Like, that's your best rivalry. Like, I think the Packers and the Bears hate each other. The Steelers and the Ravens hate each other. At one point, maybe not on the Patriots side, but growing up in Indianapolis, the Colts hated the New England Patriots. Like, it was a pure hatred.
Yeah,
you don't have that in the AFC West with anybody. Like their rivalry, sure, but the best rival of the Kansas City Chiefs isn't the Buffalo Bills. It is the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, 100%. But this is another full of crap statement by Josh Jacobs. Hear me out on this one. I mean, he is so full of crap. If he took an X-lax, he'd disappear. He says, I couldn't see myself in that color. And besides, I'd never want to be a guy that joined the dominant team. Okay?
I think that part is fair. That part is fair.
Let's step back for a second and think about this, Drew. He went to Alabama.
If you don't want to be on a dominant team, he went in the heyday
when they were racking up national titles and Saban's there. He was from Oklahoma. He chose to go to Alabama, but he's going to sit here and tell me this bull crap?
Hold on.
He didn't want to be a guy on a dominant team? You just did. You came from Alabama.
I understand that, but I think that there is something in given how Josh Jacobs' upbringing, if you remember his story, bounced around, slept on the floor. I think that there is something there's something a little bit different about college, and maybe it made him feel like it was the only place that he really felt like home or whatever the case is, and that's where he wanted to be. That's fine.
But I'm not buying the whole I don't want to be on a dominant team when you went to Alabama. Come on, man. They were throwing national championship rings at that point. They're winning almost every damn year.
I know, Bink, but I think it's different. Where if you're making millions of dollars, you can feel at home almost anywhere. If you can make it happen.
Yeah, where how college, important it's really is different. A rivalry when it comes to cash? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it doesn't.
I just find it hard to believe that the Chiefs.
To his credit,
even in the ballpark to make that kind of.
Hold on,
Bink. He already won his national title at Alabama. So.
Bink, is there a team that you hate more than anybody else in the NFL?
Yes.
Who is it?
Take a guess.
The Bengals.
Yes.
Okay. from the 660, since he hates Casey far more than Casey hates Cincy, I beg to differ.
No, I think it's both.
And here's the thing, though.
It's not like lifelong. Not like 5 years ago, I was sitting here going, I hate the Bengals. No, it's a rival. I mean, because they're good. And it's, you know, it's a team that's beat you going to the Super Bowl. And... yeah, it's a nice little rivalry between the two, and Jamar Chase obviously in his mouth.
Whenever Jamar Chase's face pops up on a screen, Chiefs fans are disgusted.
I mean, here's the thing. I can't say anybody. I think he's the best receiver in the NFL, though. I'll be quite honest with you at that. But, yeah, I consider the Bengals because everything is sick, like the Royals in 14 and 15, and they get in fights with the White Sox and all that, and it was fun. But rivalries rotate in baseball, man, because of Batista and the Blue Jays and stuff. They were not in the same division. It became – you know, a rival. I look at the Bengals. The Bills look at the Chiefs this way. And the Chiefs just kind of have sympathy on the Bills because, one, they keep losing to them when it matters in the playoffs. And, two, The only reason you have Mahomes is because the Buffalo Bills traded you the 10th pick. So there's love with the Bills.
What that texture is responding to, then we got to go to Brink Bank. The fan base that hates KC, but KC doesn't hate is the Bills. If Josh Allen's face pops up on a screen, people are like, all right, fine. Well, whatever.
Yep.
If Jamar Chase is on a screen, they're cussing him out.
Allen and Mahomes play golf together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're boys. Like, Joe Burrow is very respectful of Patrick Mahomes whenever he talks about him. But Jamar Chase hates the Chiefs, and if Jamar Chase comes up, people are mad at him. If Stephon Diggs popped up on the screen, nobody's mad at him because he hates the Chiefs.
Burrow did the podcast with Kelsey, even.
Yeah, and Orlando Brown Jr.
Yeah, so I don't know, but I do like that attitude. I just not sure that me personally, I'm buying it. But that's not fact. I'm just stating my opinion. I'm not buying it. I don't think Drew's buying it either. No. Come up next, though, we look again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
What's trending?
Hey, welcome back. Almost to the holiday weekend. Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon. The text line, 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, says that stoked to see this offense, man, with Pacheco and Steele both running, both big bruisers, much better receivers this year. Can't wait. Add some IGP Ryan in there, too. I will say this. I'm stoked to see what the Chiefs can do, but I feel when they don't have Hollywood Brown right away, you're not at full strength. You're not at full throttle without that dude playing, to be honest with you. So I'll be excited when he plays.
Yeah, definitely. Number one on what's trending, the Royals back in action tonight against the Houston Astros, looking to get a bounce back W after the loss last night. Though more concerning news coming from the game last night, Vinny Pasquantino breaking his thumb. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks per the Royals. A damper. Urseg also got hurt yesterday. No update that I still haven't seen anything.
Haven't
right now. I would assume it's not as bad as Vinny's situation, but Vinny out 6 to 8 weeks, definitely a damper on things given how the Royals have been playing lately in the spot that they're in right now, Bink.
Well, just everything going on, like Hunter Harvey's injury, then you had the Lorenzen. I mean, this is like a bad time of year to have these things.
It's starting to hit you at the wrong time.
It's starting to hit you at the wrong time because Vinny's just such a big part of what this team is. I mean, he leads this team in ribs, fifth in Major League Baseball. Dude's a team leader. Remember back in a long time ago, he told MLB Network, he goes, this team's no fluke. That kind of, he brought that attitude, that leadership quotient, and he will be missed. But other guys will have to step up. There's no question about it. No, that's not Bobby Witt. There's relatively few things he could do to step up because the guy already gives you everything. He's an unbelievable player every single night. But Perez, too. I mean, the Perez does his thing. Just a couple of days ago, we were sitting there watching, going, wow, Perez hitting those two bombs. It's like, wow. But no, it's the Melendez and the Hunter Renfro and Kyle Isbell. Those guys stepping up. Paul DeJong, that I really like that addition of that. What can happen? And it's, you know, an important series with the Astros. You're talking about a team that's been the seventh straight ALCS. The Royals were 8-1 playing the Astros their last nine games before yesterday's game. And they still won 8 of the last 10 against Houston, including sweeping them earlier this year. It was a different team. I get that. But even last year when the Royals weren't any good and Houston was, Royals still beat them 5 out of 6 times, so they definitely hold the upper hand. But I'm sitting here looking, how are the Royals not going to be in the playoffs? I'm just 27 games left. Boston sits 5.5 games behind the Royals if the Royals were going to slip in that third wild card position, which right now they're in second because the Twins a couple games back from the Royals, and they've lost 8 of their last 10 games. So who's catching them? Who's beating them? Other people are struggling this time of year. There's no question about it. And as I said earlier, Boston's seven games under 500, playing at home, playing at Fenway, which is insane.
Number two on What's Trending, Hollywood Brown is going to miss the opener, Andy Reid said in his press conference today, although the progress is incredible for him. So it seems like week two is maybe a possibility here, depending on how he continues to progress, Bank. But week one, Hollywood Brown will not be suiting up. An opportunity for the rest of the crew, potentially Juju, to see what he gets. Maybe Xavier Worthy. I would like to see that. See how much run he gets with Hollywood Brown out in week one. Also, number three in What's Trending, NHL star Johnny Gaudreau. Some sad news. Him and his brother passed away in a tragic car and bike incident. I don't know if it was this morning or if it was last night, but a tragic situation nonetheless. NHL star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother passing away. At a young age, too. Yeah.
It's just absolutely, absolutely gut-wrenching. On a bike and hit by a driver. It just...
Yeah.
And, you know, his sister was getting married today, and he and his brother that died were both groomsmen in that wedding. Yeah. Johnny's kids with the ring bearer and flower girl. I mean, this thing... It's just a terrible, terrible story. And, yeah, you hate to hear it.
Number three in What's Trending, Brandon Ayuk, four-year, $120 million extension. CD got paid. Brandon Ayuk got paid. Jamar Chase still holding in. We'll see if he ends up getting paid. If not, then we'll see how that situation goes. But Brandon Ayuk gets his deal done, and after all the chaos, Bink, he's staying in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's really weird. A lot of drama built up. Kind of hard to hear about it. Was he going to go to Pittsburgh? They finally he was going to go to Pittsburgh. Then he wasn't. Then all of a sudden, Pittsburgh was back on the table.
I'm glad he's not going to the
New
AFC
England,
North.
The Browns, the other teams wanted to make a run. But he stays with Frisco. To me, this team has played in the Super Bowl twice against the Chiefs since 2019. It's second highest favored or odds to win this, to go to the Super Bowl and win. It's crazy to think that. Like, no one seems happy on the team. Trent Williams even holding out still. That's a big part of what their offensive line is. Doesn't make a ton of sense, and they haven't paid Brock Purdy yet. So that window is starting to close, because once he gets his cash in the bag, which he will, because every quarterback gets paid in the league, good luck to San Francisco, because you're not keeping Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey, the whole bunch, and paying Brock Purdy. Not going to happen.
Another thing on What's Trending, continuing that here, Carlos Alcaraz stunned in the second round in straight sets in the U.S. Open, Bink. I don't know how much tennis you watch. I would assume not
well,
too much.
Well, I watch when it comes to the semifinals and finals.
I was going to say to watch the slams. Yeah, Alcaraz a regular in terms of being in the final or at least the semis. And
but
he got
straight
bounced.
Sets?
Yeah, he got bounced in straights, which is to an unseeded opponent as well from the Netherlands. I forget who he lost to, but a little bit of a stunner there. And then wrapping up What's Trending.
Do you know where that is played at, U.S. Open?
In New York City. My brother was there on Wednesday,
in
actually.
Queens, right? Queens, Flushing Meadow. It's not far from Citi Field.
Yeah, he was very, very excited to go, and he was able to watch some action over the course of the tournament, which is fun. Lastly on What's Trending.
New York kind of sucks, too, by the way. I don't know if you've ever been there. But
to New York City?
Oh,
there's a reason
sucks.
Why a lot of pictures don't show the Times Square, like the street level. A lot of times it's the buildings.
I'll never forget. I was there when we were doing the day shift in New York when the Royals in the World Series. I was in a cab, which is funny because I only went a couple miles, but took like over an hour and a half. And the cab driver said, well, what are you doing? Where are you from? I said, Kansas City. He goes, what are you doing here? I said, well, the World Series, you know, the Royals are playing the Mets. He had no idea. I mean, in this town, everybody knew the Royals were in the World Series.
It's a very passionate town, but it's a place that you should visit. But last thing on What's Trending, Bank, KU and MU get big wins last night. No surprise there, given who they played. K-State in action tomorrow night. You can listen to it as well on our family, 96.5 The Fan, over the weekend. So they take on UT Martin. Yeah. See if they can get a win. I think they should. And every local will be off to a good start.
Yeah, it's the best of the three FCS teams. The local teams played UT Martin with Kansas State. Don't expect any kind of challenge that they provide. I'm looking forward to seeing this ground game for Kansas State. Do I think Ben Sinnott will be missed by the Kansas? Yeah, I do, because I really like Ben Sinnott and how much he meant to that team. But when you think of that team and that defense and that running game.
The secondary. Kleiman just loves the secondary.
The secondary is ridiculously good.
Yeah. He loves them.
Even though none of them were preseason All Big 12.
Not one player was picked in the preseason. It was weird. They were projected to be second favorite to win the conference, but there was nobody in the All Big 12 preseason team.
It's like the Chiefs at the postseason awards. Like
it
they
was weird. It was weird. I think that's going to change. There'll be some All-Americans potentially on that list. Maybe Avery Johnson or Dylan Edwards. It sounds like DJ Giddens is going to be the bell cow, and then Dylan Edwards is going to be thrown in there in sequences, which obviously poses a lot of problems.
He was recruited hard by Kansas State before he went to Colorado. He's from Derby, Kansas. But Kansas State's going to have that ability just to suffocate you with Dylan Edwards, DJ Giddens, Avery Johnson. But that's secondary, though, like Jordan Riley and V.J. Payne and Marquise Sigel. I mean, it is a...
Keegan Johnson on the offensive side of the ball, by the way, has gotten a lot of praise from Coach Klieman. And speaking of those games, Bink, the rest of week one, we had obviously some big games starting up things. My Badgers play tonight. If you're watching the stream, got all my Badgers here for the day.
I thought it was your Wildcats.
I wore a Kansas State shirt yesterday because they're going to be playing over the weekend. I support it.
I do know you like Wisconsin because you went to that basketball game in Madison.
I was supposed to go to the football game too, but I was a little bit sick. So
you got food poisoning, didn't you?
Food poisoning, drank too much, whatever the case is.
Oh, you were just drunk.
Well, no, I think I got food poisoning because I threw up multiple times. Normally, you just throw up like one time.
How much you drink?
Never. I had.
Maybe, so what in the alcohol?
I don't think it was the alcohol. I think it was more what I ate, but I mixed drinks, though. So I had, like, a cider, then I had some vodka. I
wanted to do the jump around between the third and fourth quarter.
Evidently, I did something wrong. But this weekend, we have a lot of good college football games. Man. You know, you and I are going to be very, very excited. You are going to be more paid attention, I guess, than I am, given the previous conversation, because I am married, and my wife is going to be off of work tomorrow. So I'll be having the games on, a couple of them, at least, and...
True, she knows your passion. Yeah. You sat here and have done 134 team preview. That's how much you love the game. You know what?
I know. It's coming out. It's coming out hopefully later today, by the way.
Sit the
hopefully.
Husbandly duties out for one day, man. This is your passion. She should respect your passion.
She does respect my passion. You know why, Bing? Because she's moved multiple cities multiple times for my job. For my job. So
that's respect, but this is in your wheelhouse. It's what you do.
I know that.
I plan on not wearing pants tomorrow, even though I don't anyway. But you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna sit here and I'm going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Clemson in Georgia. And I'll start it off with College Game Day at A&M this weekend. But Clemson, Georgia, 1-14 at 11. Yeah, this is not a one TV day. This is a 3 or 4 TV day because Penn State and West Virginia, it's West Virginia at home, Morgantown. Oh, they're probably already drinking now. I make no mistake about it. Morgantown's probably lit by now. I'll never forget when there was like a 7-hour lightning delay to the game. I said, you know how lit those people are going to be?
So for this, I want to ask you this because I think you'll agree with me. Rob agreed with me silently. Or behind closed doors agree with me, I guess. Not as publicly.
Rob never agrees with anybody. He didn't like anybody.
Not as
I'm kidding.
Not as publicly, because I was given some shade by Speck, and I was given some shade by Alex.
Oh, man.
During the Georgia Tech-Florida State game, obviously a great game, I tweeted out, and I knew what I was doing.
Disrespect by Speck.
I said, how many NFL regular season games are better than this one? And Speck goes, all of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't think you understand. How many NFL regular season games are going to be better than that? And I understand, because Cody contradicted his own point to me. Cody said to me on the show, just because the game's close doesn't mean it's good. And then he proceeded to say, the point margin in NFL games is so close. You cannot bash the point that you're trying to give for your reasoning. I would rather watch any college football game that had the amount of drama and energy and all of that behind that Georgia Tech and Florida State game than the bummy Thursday night game between the Bears last year and the Panthers that ends 12-7.
Where losses don't matter. And I know college football with the playoffs, you know, you can afford to lose two games now.
That game was great.
But the pageantry of college football, you can't match it. I mean, the traditions before the games and the crazy fan bases and everything. I mean, nothing is like college football, and especially close games that come down the wire. But the pageantry of just how much losing affects you a lot more than the Carolina Panthers going out and losing the game.
I'm glad that you agree with me.
No, I do. And it's going to be fun. But that Penn State, West Virginia on the big noon kickoff on Fox, the same time, Clemson, Georgia, that's definitely a two TV situation.
You know, I think that might be the way that I spend my Saturday tomorrow. Like,
ESPN Plus is going to have Oklahoma State and South Dakota State. It is the number one FCS team, back-to-back national champions. And Oklahoma State lost the game they shouldn't to the South Alabama last year.
I believe Oklahoma State is also going to lose a game that they shouldn't this weekend. I think they lose to South Dakota State, Bank. South Dakota State are legit. I know that you were, hey, you had some questions about NDSU. South Dakota State, number one team in FCS play.
They're still back-to-back national champions.
Still have the same coach. Back-to-back national champions. Oklahoma State, they return a lot of guys, but it's Oklahoma State, and it's hard to buy into Oklahoma State on a regular basis, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I know, but you look at that game at 2:30, Drew, and this is my schedule because I do write out the schedule.
Okay, they all right.
Not the schedule, but I put the games I want to watch.
I got you.
And if I kind of want to watch them, or maybe another TV, I'll put them on there. But if it's an asterisk, means it's going, you know, I'm paying attention to that one.
All right.
Because college football is one of those things where there's so many things going on. It's like, what do I pay attention to? Because then at the end, you're like, did I really watch a game? Or was I sitting there watching 50,000 different things at once?
I got you.
But 2:30 is Colorado State and Texas to me.
It's a sneaky
because
game.
One, with
sneaky.
Horton, the wide receiver, Colorado State's fun to watch. Because character concerns. Our latest podcast out, by the way, we took a look at all these games of which pro prospects to watch. But I'm curious about Texas. You know, and Quinn Ewers. And will Isaiah Bond be the new Xavier Worthy? Because Isaiah Bond's one of the top receivers in the country, transferred from Alabama. So I really want to see that. Also at 2:30 is Miami against Florida. Florida's got a ridiculous schedule. Ridiculous.
Which is why I think everybody thinks that Billy Napier is getting fired. I don't think he should because of the schedule being as insanely hard as it is. I think Florida win this game, actually.
It's the toughest schedule in the country.
I think the Gators win.
Western Kentucky and Bama at 6. Remotely interested in that to see what the Kalen DeBoer era looks like for Alabama. K-State plays at 6 on ESPN+. K-State and UT Martin. Notre Dame and Texas A&M. You can make an argument that's the best game in the country. I think it's the Clemson-Georgia. But close second is Notre Dame at Texas A&M, where College to Game Day is going to be. That game's at 6:30 again. I respect these teams for playing tough teams out of the chute.
I like the slate. I think Notre Dame wins that game, Bink. I think it's close.
Who's the better quarterback in this one?
Wiegman or Riley Leonard?
Yep.
I think Riley Leonard is better than Connor Wiegman.
Man, kind of wet. As a college quarterback, yeah, but Wiegman's got probably better pro potential.
I agree with that. I also think Mike Elko. I think Mike Elko.
Yeah, he's a different duck, man. He's good.
Is a really, really good football coach, which is why nobody takes A&M seriously because Jimbo is Jimbo. He just couldn't quite figure it out. For whatever reason at A&M, I think Elko's more. He's part of what made the A&M defense hum before he left to go to Duke, and he's back. So the A&M defense is gonna be nasty. I think they're going to cause people problems.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy fan base, you know, that they get there.
I think they might go 9-3, Bink, is what I had A&M going this year. They might surprise a little bit because I don't think people are expecting 8 or 9 wins. They might.
I have them hovering at 3-4 loss. And then Sunday you get a game. So, Drew, you can go do your honeydews the whole day, basically, because at 6:30 is USC and LSU, which is actually interesting.
We have a NASCAR race during the middle of the day,
that's
right?
That's right. They're both the final one before the playoffs, right? It's the final one before the playoffs.
Yeah, Bubba Wallace has got to win.
Yes, he's going to make the cut line and get in there. But USC and LSU, Lincoln Riley, had a lot of acumen when he went out there. And what he does with quarterbacks and Caleb Williams. But that defense sucks. And as the kids would say, it was trash. Because I remember that first game against San Jose State I did on character concerns, looked at Nocero and said, hey, USC better be worried about this defense. Because this defense makes Colorado's look good. And then Boston College and Florida State on Monday night.
You want to see some points. Colorado and USC, man. That'd be another game. I mean, I think they played last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
That game was insane.
And Ince, the former quarterback at North Dakota State, the one that cut 2 national titles. Yeah, he's an assistant out there. Yeah. I do want to see Colin Klein what he does at A&M, right? It's going to be interesting.
And then Kansas
is Kotelink's former offensive coordinator, is the coordinator at Penn State.
I agree. It's going to be exciting. Andy.
So interesting. Thanks, Drew. It's great stuff by you today.
Oh, it was good, as always. It's a lot of fun doing the show with you, Bink. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. And everybody else, take care and have a good weekend. Rob and CDOT next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.